Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us as we roll through this Thursday together here in SJS. Kevin Herr alongside. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. That's 800-609-9484. Or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. Back in the friendly confines of the Sunbury Motor Studio on this cold, cold Thursday. Heat's up, no doubt about that. And Sunbury Motors, of course, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. You want to do something spectacular? Buy one of those and put a bow on it and have it waiting Christmas morning. You will be golden. Sunbury Motors will help make that happen for you. Kevin, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be here again.
Kevin, of course, thinks that the Super Bowl Giants Stadium feels like more of a backyard neighborhood game.
I don't think that's exactly what I was going for.
I'm not quite sure what you're going for here. Except for it being outside in the cold, it's like any other venue.
To me, it just seems more accessible. And maybe it's because it's so close that I could actually drive to it and not have to fly or make arrangements for an entire weekend. I could actually go to the Super Bowl and come home in the same day without having to have an overnight stay. Maybe that's why it just seems more accessible to me.
Kevin, let's get something straight. You're not going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, but the point is, I could.
You're gonna be at home in Danville like all the other years.
Yes, there's no argument. I am not going to the Super Bowl, but I could. If I was willing to spend the money on the ticket, I could actually go to the Super Bowl and not have to make an entire weekend of it. That's why I think it feels to me like a more average fan style Super Bowl. Because let's face it, the average fan is never going to get to a Super Bowl. I really don't think.
Yeah, but what? But wouldn't you want to go to the Super Bowl because, especially a couple days early, that way you could spend 36 consecutive hours at the fan experience?
Well, yeah, but that's why I'm making a whole day of it, because I can go to the NFL fan experience all day long, and then when the Super Bowl kicks off, I'll be in my seat because I can't tailgate. That's so what difference does it make?
I'd show up 90 minutes before kickoff. All right.
So. 9 minutes before kickoff, you mean? Drop the zero.
Well, I don't like to be hanging around venues too long. I don't know. It's just, you know, just not the way it goes.
The next time we have Tony Knopp on the show, I'd love to hear from him what percentage of Super Bowl tickets are actually sold to, as I like to refer to it, the average fan, and what percentage is actually done and given away to corporate sponsors.
We actually did this last year in the show. He went through all the numbers last year in the show. So call it up now. I'm just kidding. We did go through it last year, but we have Tony on. And I think that might be next week. We'll go through the numbers again. The percentage that goes to corporate partners, the percentage that goes to teams, the participating teams, and so forth. The percentages are really small. That's why you have, oh, lovely, touchdown. Lovely.
Oh, that's wonderful. Here, wonderful. Bravo.
I'll jump. I'm jumping up and down, sort of.
Excuse me. Is the caviar vendor coming around?
Look, if you can afford the ticket, you can afford the caviar. All right? Simple as that. But it's the biggest event going. And, again, as we pointed out, we have put in... And we put in a good 2 months ahead of time. We'll see if it works or not, but we put in to be on Media Row for Media Day. And with that, we're going to go to Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2010 Chevy Equinox Limited, the most affordable crossover, just $22,996. 2010 Ford Explorer XLT, new tires, new brake linings, just $21,997. A Pontiac Torrent GXP, four-wheel drive, peace of mind, $15,554. 2011 Hyundai Sonata Limited, fully serviced, $17,498. And a sporty, like new Subaru Impreza sedan under 8,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $27,495. Call 570-286-7746. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show.
Hey, how are you?
There he is in the Sunbury Motors studio.
What's going on, big dog?
Just getting ready
today's
for...
Getting ready for what?
I'm just getting ready for a big night, basketball on WKOK.com, and Buhner making his debut as the color analyst for Shikellamy Wrestling on WKOK tonight. Bob, have you done all your homework?
I am ready. We've got the lineups all memorized, the records of the wrestlers, and I'm going to be with the guru of grappling.
That's good. I like
Steve
that.
Steve Williams, who's just... an incredible gift for wrestling trivia and been the voice of Shikellamy Wrestling for literally decades now. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Steve, were you ever a wrestling announcer?
I've done probably 40 to 50 television appearances as a wrestling announcer, including the Big Ten Network.
Wow. And you know, it's a different sport to announce than basketball and football, that's for sure.
Well, what happens in television is, say, for example, I'm sure Steve Williams is the play-by-play guy for what you do.
He
right?
is.
And then you go from there. And on TV, it's different. It's the analyst that takes you through all the moves, and you really are in the host and facilitator. So it's a little different. You know, there's certain things, for example, like I'm the one that keeps up as to what the score is. I'm the one that, you know... him up and they take you through the various moves. I mean, that's their job, and then mm-hmm. your job is more of host and facilitator. It's a totally different thing. Announcing wrestling is much like being the announcer for gymnastics, figure skating, and so forth. Each time it's the analyst that drives what happens on a television broadcast because they tell you with their expertise what has happened.
And, you know, the interesting thing about wrestling is like, and I think it's a great analogy, Steve, and I hadn't thought of it too much, but it's like figure skating. You let the artists, you let the wrestlers do what they do. You don't have to talk about, well, this is a double leg takedown or this is a triple Sal Cal jump, because the audience can see it for themselves. They don't need you to tell them the obvious. And I think it's a little more subtle announcing. It's score, time remaining, team score, etc. And you just let the artistry on the mat or on the ice take care of itself.
Now on radio, it's a little different.
Yeah.
You have to be able to tell exactly what is going on because you have to be the eyes.
Yeah, and so
have to be the eyes, that's why.
I've done wrestling for about 20 years on cable TV, and you're right. Wrestling is going to take a little bit of a change of focus for me to do that, and I'm really anxious. And, you know, Shikellamy Wrestling is one of the great tradition-bound programs in wrestling here in the state, and particularly in the Susquehanna Valley, which is a hotbed of high school wrestling. So it's going to be fun to see that, because I used to, for about the last 40 years, cheer against them. And now I get to be right there at Matt's side with Steve and go over what John Supsik and the boys have in store for the Milton Black Panthers.
It's a lot of fun. You'll enjoy that. And the audience will enjoy hearing you. You have great expertise when it comes to the sport of wrestling and some great insight. I think the fans will find that to be a very enjoyable experience. Santa Claus, of course, tonight from 6 to 7. Once again, the opening half hour is dominated by Kevin's Request, Then We Let Children.
One of these years, Santa's going to listen.
What do you mean one of these years going to listen? Look at all you've been given in your life. an embarrassment of riches.
Well, there are some things you could make an argument for, sure.
But most of the things he's requesting Santa to give are for you, Steve, as gifts.
I'm just not even going there. And the nice thing is, it's 7:06. We flip
like,
the switch.
It sounds like it's just getting flat out personal.
Yeah, it is.
7:06. We flip the switch, and WKOK.com goes basketball, and 1070 AM goes wrestling. That's one of the nice things that we have the ability to do here is make everybody happy and bring both sports along the way on nights where both events happen at the same time.
And Steve, you were in the city of Pittsburgh, the city of Premonti Brothers sandwiches. Did you bring back one for Kevin? He wanted to know that.
I'll be frank with you.
No, that would be the frank answer.
Okay. I don't like Premonti Brothers sandwiches.
No, I know.
I don't. I took my son to a ball game there. And I said, hey, you know, everybody's always told me we should get one of these. He goes, yeah, I've heard the same thing. And the two of us looked at each other and went, no.
Something about the coleslaw and the French fries inside the bun.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that you have that I don't think, you know, if you're not native of the Pittsburgh area, you can't get into is the fries and slaw being in the burger or being in the bun and in the Roethlisberger and so on.
Yeah, but I love, for example, a Pittsburgh-style salad.
Mm-hmm.
I love a Pittsburgh-style salad, which includes fries on the salad and things like that. I think that's terrific. I like it. I try not to have too many of them, but
one will
but
do
I
you
think
in.
It's right. I think it it's terrific. So it has nothing to do with acquired taste. It's just you said, you know, the biggest problem I have is I thought the bread stunk. That was actually a big part of it for me. I'm like, okay, sorry, bread mediocre. Move on. Let's see, Mack Brown is going to be meeting with the athletic director and also with the university president. Look, if I'm him, I don't quit, I don't resign, I don't move on.
Exactly.
If I want to keep my job, I look at them and go, but you tell them I'm the best guy for this job and why. Because you know what? Steve Patterson, if he's the athletic director, darn well better have a plan as to who are we targeting. It is that person you're targeting better than Mack Brown.
Mack Brown's a good coach. It's just plain and simple.
Well, the problem that I have with it is the way this whole thing was handled. If you have that many leaks that even the coach who's going out on a recruiting trip, assuming everything is the way we read, if he doesn't have any clue that there's a change coming, that's a big problem to me. Why would you send your coach out on a recruiting trip if he wasn't going to be there? Imagine what that was like,
Kevin, sitting in the living room.
Kevin,
you don't know where he was, okay?
Well, but that's
what
I'm saying.
I've been trying to point this out to you. You don't know where he was. He could have been sitting in suburban Austin telling you on a recruiting trip.
And that's true, but I mean, think about it. If he is, let's say for the sake of argument, he is on a recruiting trip. Can you imagine what that was like sitting in the living room? Coach, I've heard you're not going to be there next year. As far as I know, right now,
every other school is using it against him anyway.
Sure they are.
True.
Like, that's what the danger of this whole thing is to begin with. Everybody's using it against him. Texas is handling it all wrong. And if I'm Mack Brown, I don't step down. If I think I'm the best guy for the job, and he's only 62 years old, he's not 92, he's 62. I look at him and say, I'm the best guy for the job, and here's why.
And then look at them and say, okay, exactly who do you think is going to replace me that you think is going to be better? Let them put the names on the table. He's got enough money to sit there and boldly challenge them on this, and I would challenge them. And if I were Steve Patterson and the university president, it probably would help if I had answers. Rick Wyvil liked that answer. I'm sure he did.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Buhner's along board. Stabilize the show.
Be the buffer with Kevin.
Kevin has this fantasy look. Like Kevin, sports is like fantasy league.
And? What's your point? What's your point?
I'm just saying.
Just an observation, really, yeah.
Just an observation
about... My whole life's a fantasy league.
So you don't like when we talk about the business of it. You don't like the marketing of it. You know,
like a second baseman that's making like $24 million a year for the next 10 years.
But when you look at the TV contract that they have I'm trying to think what is it, Fox Sports Northwest? I'm trying to think. For Seattle, it's a $118 million deal. You have to be able to put on a product and get them excited about something that you have and that you're doing. Felix Hernandez pitches every 5 days. Robinson Cano plays every day. Now, it's not a contract I would have given him, so I would not have done that, and I wouldn't have gone to that extent. And I told you I wouldn't go more than 5 years on any guy, and getting into the $20 million-plus range just doesn't light me up too much for a player. In the end, I think they think they're making an investment in what they're doing based on their TV contract and their capabilities. One thing that you notice on Yes Network this year is that the Yankee ratings plummeted, I think, somewhere in the range of 40% from the year before, but got a bump and a bounce back when Alex Rodriguez returned to the lineup. Now, I mean, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, that is part of the game. I know, Kevin, you don't like talking about this game. I understand. It's not the kind of game you want to talk about. But there is a reality to it.
Well, there is a point to that. But I think right now the reason that the numbers spiked was because they wanted to see what was going to happen to him. It wasn't because they were looking forward to see him play baseball. It was like something you couldn't take your eyes off of.
I understand that, but the ratings still went up when he played.
Well, sometimes that's all that matters, I guess.
Well, that's ratings and dollars are connected.
No, I didn't say. Well, yeah, ratings and dollars are connected because now, look, why are the key months? Kevin loves the Olympics. Okay, I mean, and the ratings bear out that Kevin's not the only. The Olympics are a great draw for the casual fan. There aren't many diehard Olympic fans like Kevin out there. It's really a small number. But there are people that love the Olympics and in particular love figure skating at the Olympics. That's why figure skating, for example, is always going to be the prime time get. Women's gymnastics is always going to be a prime time get.
Yeah, that's your summer. That's your summer games lead right there.
Yep.
Right. So each time they're going to be your prime time gets, women's gymnastics and figure skating always. So when you look at the Sochi Olympics, when they go to their tape packages, you're going to have nights where it's men's figure skating, women's figure skating, pairs, and ice dancing. And then when it's all done, they have what the get together at the end where it's an exhibition, but they still do it, and that will make the prime time cut as well. This is what draws the casual fan in. Casual fan goes, oh, man, it's an Olympic championship, so it has meaning to it. has medals, gold, silver, bronze, has meaning to it, and there's the artistry of figure skating, like there's the artistry of women's gymnastics that draws the casual fan, and particularly the female fan, into watching in prime time. So the Olympics, which will take place in February, which is a sweeps month, that's why it's important that it's in that sweeps month of February, just like the Super Bowl is. And just like you see, for example, all the cliffhanging endings on television for regular series always take place in May because that is a sweeps month. The third sweeps month is November. This is how they set the advertising rates in television for the year. So NBC is sitting there with the Olympic Games in Sochi. That's why they pay so much in rights fees for it, because they feel the domino is it helps them set the rights fee across the board in two-year increments. Right, where they know they're going to win, especially in that sweeps month. The Winter Olympics are very important for them because it's in a sweeps month. And they know they'll be able to set advertising rates based off of that. And the ability to draw female viewership, along with the lure that it's an Olympic championship, which keeps male viewership, ends up being a ratings winner for them, despite the fact that this particular Olympiad will all be on tape.
And I think I speak for all men in the audience, as we know that women control the checkbooks. And that's who the advertisers covet, these are spouses, for whatever reason.
They're primarily looking for 25 to 54-year-old women, and they're looking for 18 to 49-year-old men. Those are the two critical demographics in television today. 25 to 54 women, 18 to 49-year-old men. Those are the demos.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that they're looking for. So if you're sitting there and you're 60 years old, and you're saying, okay, you know, yeah, they want you watching, but when it comes to what they do, you're not in the demographic that they're looking at.
Yeah, I don't spend money.
Right. Well, exactly. These are the money-spending areas. This is also where the advertising, when you see advertisements in TV, are pushed toward.
Sure.
Okay? Now, there are some specialty looks. Let's take a look at what we do in radio here. You know, what do we have, Kevin? Four stations?
Five
stations. So we have five stations. Each one of the five stations has a different format than the other, because each one of the five is designed to go after a specific demographic and to please that demographic in the Susquehanna Valley. The demographic that we're going after here, this is a sports talk show. You know, so obviously we're trying to appeal to as many men as possible. By having Kevin on, we appeal to the female audience, just out of pure sex appeal.
Truer words were never spoken.
Sarah Bartlett in other room laughing hysterically.
On the floor laughing hysterically.
Cody Jade laughing hysterically. Kevin puzzled.
I think proud. That was the wrong word.
Well, just Steve, just to take it in a different way, but by comparison, to illustrate the point that you're making, Fox News just a couple months ago shook up their lineup, and they took somebody named Megyn Kelly, who was on from, I think, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, put her on at 9 to 10 p.m. after Bill O'Reilly, got Hannity out of there, and she has blown away the ratings, and so she's on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, she's doing this and that and everything else, because the ratings for her, that was the market they were looking for, and all of a sudden several million viewers are in to watch Megyn Kelly at 9 o'clock, who was an afternoon kind of a newsy person,
right,
and now sitting top of the world on this and blown away the competition. And it's all about ratings.
She's worked her way from legal correspondent in Washington to then being on with Bill Hemmer from 9 to 11,
right,
to then getting her own show from 1 to 3, co-anchored with Brett Baer the election coverage in 2012, and now has her own show at 9. Now, of course, part of the power for it, again, you have to put together a lineup. And one of the important factors for her is that O'Reilly, who is the number one show nightly in cable, okay, it's not the number one show for the week in cable, but it's the number one nightly show for the week. You have to kind of, you know, do the number one show in cable from September 1st to December 31st is Monday Night Football, by a wide margin, like wide.
Yeah,
you're talking like, I mean, the last Monday Night game had a 15 rating on cable. Holy mackerel.
Blows it out of the water.
All right. I think O'Reilly gets like a 3-8 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Thursday night football between Jacksonville and Houston got a 5.4 on cable. It was number two for the week. Are you kidding me? Jacksonville. Jacksonville and Houston. Combined 5 wins. Houston, Jacksonville. Okay. Jacksonville? Really? And they ended up the Jags. Okay. You're talking got a 5.4 rating. But the lead in is important to anything you do. Okay. For a long time, Michael Smirkanish led into this show. It's a good lead in for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's my job to lead into the news that then leads into the evening programming. It's my job to do that. It's also part of my job here, literally, part of my job here as to what we do, along with Kevin, our job in conjunction, the two of us together, and then when you're here, the three of us together, is that people driving home are listening to this show, and then when they wake up, they hear Mark. Because the radio's already on 1070. So you want to put together as entertaining and as informative and as interesting a product as possible on an everyday basis, because, you know, and as informed as possible, because on the format of this station, there's certain demographics we're looking for, and I want to make sure that they're tuned in on the way home to us, and we make it as fun, entertaining as possible, and interesting as possible, and informative as possible, in part so that when they wake up tomorrow, they have Mark on because the radio's already on 1070.
Makes perfect sense to me.
All right. Now, and that's why we have 5 stations. Each one brings with it its own format. What Drew Kelly does is different than what Sean Carey does. I mean, and you go round and round as to what we do here at the Sunbury family of broadcast stations.
So really what you're saying, Steve, is that Mark Lawrence owes us big time, I think is really what you're saying.
I'll tell you right now.
Big time.
That dude can't even begin to thank us for what we've done for him.
Steve, I want to go back.
And by the way, so you know, I think the world of Lawrence. So.
Yes.
I do.
I know.
I do.
We all do. He's an amazing guy, but he owes it all
sure
to
is.
This show.
I want to go back to some interesting stats that came out of the 2010 Olympics for NBC. This was some of their numbers based on the Olympics 4 years ago. Number one ranked sport in average number of viewers was actually freestyle skiing in 2010. And part of that is because I think of Lindsey Vonn and what she has done to get skiing, at least in people's minds. Then they threw that. Or I'm sorry. That's downhill skiing is number two.
Freestyle is
the flying tomato,
right?
I mean, guys like that.
No, that's not. That's snowboarding. I mean, they brought these other sports.
Oh,
freestyle skiing.
That's the race.
Those are the tricks.
Yeah.
They freestyle the tricks and the moguls and things like that.
Yeah,
that's part
right.
of the freestyle. Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's no. It's okay, Kev. Okay. That's why there's three of us here. We can kind of. Well, no, I meant that seriously. I didn't mean that as a joke. Okay. I actually meant that seriously. That way, that's why I'm talking about that 18 to 49 year old group, Kev.
Well,
okay, because they're looking at that bottom end demographic of 18 to 30. They love that. That's why the Olympics, they put it into the Olympic Games, because they know it's a draw for the younger demographic.
Right. And freestyle skiing is, like you said, the aerials and all that. So freestyle was one. And then you get into the downhill skiing, which is where names like Lindsey Vonn come to mind. And believe it or not, luge actually popped in at number three. I was really surprised about that one. Snowboarding dropped to 4, which I think it was higher 4 years earlier. Figure skating, which, as you mentioned, for decades was the featured event and the signature event of the Olympics, was actually 5th, and speed skating 6th.
But if you notice they have put the snowboarding and freestyle stuff in prime time. They've done that.
Absolutely, and you know what? Snowboarding really got prime time coverage last year.
Right, and they know it and they get it. They've charted all of this, but they're not going to move figure skating out of there because they know. That is a difference maker among female viewers. The sports you talked about, for example, the freestyle sports, that's your 18 to 30-year-old male demographic. They think that's pretty cool. So they're watching it with tremendous interest. And the aerials and the snowboarding and the tricks, I mean even for somebody who's like, headed toward the who's gal like me, thinks it's pretty cool, too, well, as a matter of fact.
And you know, Kev, we
need to take a break.
Yes.
Somebody needs to keep control over the programming.
Well, that's why you're here.
And it is December, and because it's December, you know what? A lot of people want to be a part of this show, and let's take a break.
All right.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call, 800-609-9484. Go to REWfinancial.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Bob and I, of course, will broadcast on while Kevin gets choked up.
What, Costas is here?
Kevin has tears in his eyes when they play this theme.
I just keep waiting to hear Bob Costas anchoring from the International, what was it called? The International Television Center? What was the one in Vancouver they had? Mm-hmm. International Broadcast Center. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yes, there's nothing like going to a Black Sea resort surrounded by men in uniforms and guns. All right, so, really, I say party on.
You will do what we tell you.
You will enjoy yourself. Okay, good. Okay.
You guys were talking about how the Olympics in February, where sweeps are going on, and you know, and why some sports are done in prime time. You know, we talked about snowboarding and freestyle skiing. A lot of that happened in Vancouver at like 11:30 Eastern time, so that NBC could run it live with their primetime coverage, or 11:30 Eastern time for the medal round, so they could run it with their primetime coverage, and it actually becomes primetime coverage then on the West Coast as well, where I think a lot of these sports like this are more popular. So it really worked into their hands for the television numbers. Here's the interesting part, though. When you look at what created the most buzz in 2010 with Olympic sports...
Kev, I wouldn't use the word buzz and freestyle sports in the same sentence.
There's already a connection.
Probably a good idea. Well, the good news is that didn't cause much of a buzz on the internet. Hockey actually was the biggest thing on the internet. 30% were talking about of the Olympics discussion on the internet were talking hockey. But yet it didn't really show up in the coverage.
Well, I'm somebody who loves... To me, that's the sport that, above all, I like to watch in the Olympic Games, is I love watching the hockey.
You guys, you know, are missing
part of it is I know the players. I mean, even on the foreign teams, because they play in the NHL.
But you guys are all missing the boat on team sports for the Olympics. Everybody knows it's curling. You get a case
of
beer.
I'm all about curling.
That's right, Kevin is. Case of beer, some ice, a couple... barrels of ring bologna, and you have yourself a curling team.
Bob and I will have the U.S. curling qualifying update coming up here shortly, because they were playing the last couple of days. Steve fell asleep on us.
No, he collapsed when we said curling over ice hockey.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call, 800-609-9484, or go online to REWfinancial.com. Rick just sent me a note. He says, can you talk about real sports next half hour? I'm trying to, Rick. I'm trying, babe.